Thank you so much. It is Devin and Amir's anniversary. Happy anniversary. They've been married for a gajillion, 12 years, is that right? 12 years. 12 wonderful years. I asked your wife the same thing, and she said also 12 wonderful years. So, all right, let's stand and read our scripture together. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Here we go. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You may be seated. Woof. Woof. All right, the title of the message this morning is called Being Jesus, Being Jesus. You know, we have some confusing Christian vernacular now and then. We say, let's be Jesus. And you're like, really? What do we mean when we say be Jesus? Be Jesus. It's a phrase common in Christianity. What does it mean? Does it mean spit in the dirt, make some mud, and rub it in your friend's eyes? Is that what being Jesus means? Does it mean going over to the middle school and multiplying lunches? You get a lunch, and you get a lunch, and you get a lunch. Maybe it means raising the dead. Like your roommate assigns you with a task to wake them up in the morning, and you go over to their bed, and you're like, Lazarus, come forth! Do you think it happened? Did he raise? We'll do it again. Just keep practicing. Maybe you're in an argument with your spouse. Spouse is getting on your nerves, they're not doing it all right, and you say to them, what only Jesus should rightly say, get behind me, Satan. It's really bad marriage advice. You would need to do the next thing only Jesus can do, which would be resurrect from the dead. Right. We'd need a resurrection. A little resurrection. We're going to have a little bit of fun today as we talk about being Jesus to the world. So we have some people who have represented Jesus in film and in plays over the years as we go back. There's some amazing ones like the Jesus film. So let's put them up there. And what I want to know is which one resonates with you? What generational Jesus from film do you identify with? So let's start putting these up there. Max Sydow, the greatest story ever told, 1965. Anyone watch that one in this room? Yeah, here. Okay, great. Let's do the next one. Ted Neely, Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah, some mixed reaction to that one. It's an interesting one because you either really like him or if someone doesn't do Jesus the way you think he should, you're like, boo. Okay, next one. Robert Powell, Jesus of Nazareth. Lots of 70s. That was a Jesus time, right? Here we go. A Jesus movement. Next one. Brian Deacon, the Jesus film. So that's a really, I mean, look at those eyes. Like, I feel like I'm looking at Jesus, or he's looking into my soul, or maybe I need to repent. Next one. All right, here's a little closer. 2004, Jim Caviezel, The Passion of the Christ. Raise your hand. You go that, right? Okay, good. Man, okay, how many of you watched The Passion of the Christ? Okay. Keep your hand up if you watched it a second time. Yeah, that's hard to watch twice, isn't it? Oh my gosh. All right, and now here we go. Next one, Jonathan Rumi, The Chosen, 2017. Doesn't he do an incredible job playing the part of Jesus? Absolutely amazing. You know, around here, we do some productions, things like that. And over the years, we have people who are honored, and I really mean honored, to play the role of Jesus. So here's one from not long ago, 1996, Mr. Curtis Troll. Look at that young man. Woo. Curtis, you're a lot like Jesus to me, that's for sure. Thank you. You and your wife, my goodness. All right, next one. Ellis Troll, a son. Look at that good man. 2024. And now here's our most recent one, Adam Rushhold and the crew. 2026, being Jesus. It's just incredible. Let's go back to Jonathan and put his image up again. He said this. He said, playing Jesus has allowed me to walk deeper with the Lord, exploring everything from his friendships to his passion and death. Hear this. It has been humbling and beautiful and painful, but I wouldn't change any of it. Playing Jesus. The role of Jesus. It has been humbling and beautiful and painful, But I wouldn't change any of it. Any of it. You know, when you get the privilege of playing the role of Jesus, whether it's an Easter production or we'll do a skit around here, you really feel all those same things. I've had the privilege of doing that a couple times, and you really feel humbled to represent that role. And you just start praying, God, would you please, in any way you can, use this vessel to somehow communicate a little bit of who you are through this task. It is humbling and beautiful and sometimes a little painful. Absolutely. The cast of The Chosen, so The Chosen is the show that Jonathan Rumi plays Jesus in, and the cast of The Chosen says this: you don't have to play Jesus to live like Jesus in the world. You don't have to play Jesus to live like Jesus in the world. So when we say, be Jesus to the world, what we mean is we want to allow Jesus who lives in us to reveal his character and communicate his message through us. Be Jesus to the world. We want to allow the Jesus who lives in us to communicate his character and his message through us. Through us. So you all got the role of Jesus today. I've just cast you. Pastor Carey, I'm taking on the role of director just this morning. You're all cast as Jesus. I hope you have already started growing your hair out. CJ, we're going to work on that reverse mohawk for this role. Think about how can I possibly represent the God of the whole universe? The person who is love incarnate, the sinless, spotless lamb given to take away the sins of the world. How's that even possible? But it seems like scripture says that's exactly what we're called to. It seems completely unavoidable in scripture. It isn't just that the Apostle Paul says it, or Peter says it, or some of the guys that Jesus hung out said it, but Jesus himself calls us to it. So how's it possible? The first is to reckon with this word, called to it. You're called to it. That's a big word. If someone says, hey, you know, you've got a talent for that, a proclivity towards it. You're kind of a natural. That's one way of saying something. It's entirely different than to say, you're called to it. You're called to it. It carries with it an entirely different connotation. When you put the word calling into something, what you're saying is God himself is involved. God himself is involved. Here's what I want to tell you today. You are called to be Jesus to the world. It is a role that God himself has called you to. He said, I see you, I've put my spirit in you, and I'm calling you to this. Big words, big words. 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he, that's God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Okay, just told you you're playing the part of Jesus. Now let's give it another role. The title ambassador, ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us. Listen to this word. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him, come on, we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, so good. Once we've surrendered to Jesus, he's called us ambassador. It's become our job title. And our job description is to make an imploring appeal on behalf of Christ to the world that they might be reconciled to God. You know, an ambassador is not just a job title. You don't, like, there are certain things that you clock in and clock out of. You can work at Wendy's 9 to 5 or whatever. Is Wendy's open at 9? I don't even know. You can clock in and clock out. You don't clock in and clock out of being an ambassador, right? When you get the job ambassador, you just took on a whole mantle. It's different than a job. It's a lifestyle. An ambassador is a lifestyle. It isn't just something you clock in or clock out of. So here's some important parts of this. God's job and our job in this calling, God's part. Here's the cool part. You don't have to make the way. God already did it. Jesus Christ, it says, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He made a way. He promised it all the way back in Isaiah, said, I'll make a highway in the wilderness. He's made a way to him. So God has done that. He's made a way through his son, Jesus, that anyone can take on the righteousness of God. He says, be reconciled to him. Here's what the word reconciled means, some synonyms for it. Restored, reunited, brought back to, be made right with. That's what we're appealing people for. Yeah. Hey, let's get you reunited with the God who created you. Amen. Let's get you brought back into relationship with the God who made you. You know, the famous Cougar song at the stadium is We Always Find Our Way Back Home. Do you know we've been doing that as a church for a long, long time? We're just trying to get prodigals home. We're just trying to get sons and daughters back to their father who desperately wants them reconciled to him. We are always finding our way back home. God named us ambassadors of that reconciliation. That's what being Jesus means. Ambassador is the Greek word presbuo, to represent another person or kingdom, and to speak, what an incredible delegated authority, and to speak on their behalf. You know, it's right to ask the question, how could I possibly represent Jesus, be Jesus to the world? It's a daunting undertaking, but Christ looked at his disciples. This scripture comes from the Last Supper, the last evening that Jesus is spending with his disciples. And these important things he wanted to leave with them. He says, I'm changing your job description. You are no longer just followers of me. We've walked around Galilee. We've gone to Samaria. We've preached to the Jews and the Gentiles. You've watched me walk on water, multiply lunches. Tell Peter, get behind me, Satan, not your spouse, right? But I'm changing things now. I'm giving you a whole new job description. And the disciples understood it accurately. It wasn't just a job description. It was a lifestyle. I've called you ambassadors of reconciliation. Did you know you had such a fancy title? Like, is that on your wall somewhere? I am an ambassador of reconciliation. It sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? It's a very lofty title. Anyone in the room actually know an ambassador, a nation ambassador? Anyone in here? Sometimes it's crazy, it just happens. You know someone. I know some people who wanted to be ambassadors. Okay. Yeah, there's someone who wants to be an ambassador right there. Oh, no, it's Doc D back there. I'm not surprised. Not surprised. All right. How about some ambassadors we might be a little more familiar with? You guys have heard the term brand ambassador? Brand ambassador, okay. Ambassadors make companies visible through the way they speak and behave. So I'm gonna say the name of the person, you say the name of the brand they represent, okay? Here we go, Michael Jordan. Nike, good, okay. Y'all ready to participate, you okay? All right, here we go. This one's a little fun, because this guy, Shaquille O'Neal. The General, thank you, yes. What? Icy Hot. Who thinks Shaquille O'Neal and Icy Hot in the same sentence? But we do, because he's an ambassador for Icy Hot, of all things. Yeah, Papa John's. Who said that? Come on, Siwa. Yes. Brand ambassador for Papa John's. Peyton Manning. I'll sing the song. Dun, 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 dun. Nationwide. Nationwide, yes. How about Jennifer Garner? What's in your wallet? Exactly, good. This one, obviously, I don't know, George Clooney. George Clooney. Who? Come on. Who said Nespresso? Raise your hand. Who said Nespresso? Yeah. It was a girl, wasn't it? Yeah, it was too, wasn't it? All the guys are like, who's George Clooney? The girls are like, Nespresso. All right, I understand. I get it. Patrick, my homie. State Farm. Absolutely, State Farm. All right, any Swifties out there? Taylor Swift? Who's Taylor Swift? Good, thank you. Diet Coke. Does it ring a bell now that I say it? Diet Coke. Also Capital One. All right, for the men out there, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Come on. Come on. And I say it, you'll get it. Under Armour. Under Armour. Under Armour. All right. So a brand ambassador, they're actually having a harder time recruiting brand ambassadors, so they have to pay them more money. Poor brand ambassadors. I feel so bad for them. What a tough life. Millions of dollars. Now, the reason they're having a harder time recruiting them is because it is, in fact, a lifestyle. You never leave being a brand ambassador. Like Michael Jordan, when the Team USA won the Olympics back in the 90s, Reebok had sponsored Team USA. Well, he's a Nike athlete. So you see that, try to picture in your head that iconic image of Michael with the American flag draped over his shoulders. It's to cover the Reebok emblem. Like, that's what Michael Jordan had to think of. Think of the responsibility had to think of in order to properly represent the brand he was paid for. So we're like, oh, look at that patriotism. I'm sure it was patriotism too. But he has to carry that weight of responsibility with him everywhere. It's a big deal. So I want to show you an example of some poor brand ambassadorism. I don't even know if that's a word. Can we play this one?
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer. So y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. 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 I'm just here so I won't get fined.
29 times. Occasionally he'd change it up. Appreciate you, bro. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Good question. I'm just here so I won't get fined. He'll go, thanks for asking about my family. I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Yeah. He got fined $100,000 for not showing up to his press conferences. $100,000. Now, here's what I knew would happen when I used that clip is we kind of empathize with him. Like, those press are obnoxious. Who are they to, you know? At the same time, you have to understand, if he's being fined $100,000, he's making a whole lot of money to sit there and answer some pretty trivial questions, right? This is pretty bad brand ambassador right there. Let me show you one that I love. This is from The Chosen, right after Jesus has met with the woman at the well. Had this incredible encounter with her that changed her life forever.
You forgot your
Foxy, your family told me everything I ever did.
She says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. She's thrilled out of her mind to come and invite people to Jesus. You're called to it. You know, Marshawn Lynch on one side, he's protecting himself from the vulnerability of having to do this work of being a brand ambassador. He's got all these walls up. I'm just here so I'm not gonna get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Bro, appreciate your question. I'm just here so I don't get fined. 29 times in that one sitting, and he did that over and over and over again. Versus the life change of someone who's encountered Jesus Christ. On the inside of them, you know, Jesus said to her in that encounter just before then, he said, if you knew who I am and the gift of God, that you'd ask me for water, and I'd give you water, that if you drink of it, you'd never thirst again. You'd never thirst again. And that's exactly what happened, is a well started to spring up inside of that woman that started to overflow and overflow and overflow, and she went and told her whole community about it. It's absolutely incredible. So I guess the question is, God has given us responsibility, purpose, and assignment, and is asking us to respond to it. Are you? You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are we just here so we don't get fined? I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know, one is legalism and one is full of life. Come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. One is self-protective and one is vulnerable. One is shut down, one is open, one is closed, one is inviting. One is cold, one is warm. You know, when Jesus starts to overflow out of you, there's an effervescence to it. When someone first gets saved, you know, one of the things Pastor Joe says to people when they first get saved is he goes, Jesus looks good on you. When you see Jesus come into someone's countenance, you can see it in their eyes. Jesus looks good on you. Our job is ambassadors. Our job description involves these two words, appeal. Appeal. To call near, to invite, to invoke by imploration, ortation, or consolation. Most commonly in scripture, beseech. Let's look at this word, ortation. Encouraging someone with urgency to do what is right. You know, when you're sharing Jesus with someone, you're not sharing something that's out of the norm. What you're sharing with someone is their native environment. It's like taking a fish and trying to get them back into the water. Like, you've been out of your environment for way too long. What I'm trying to do is just make things right here. Because the natural right state of us is in right relationship with Jesus Christ. When we're outside of that relationship, we have to make up all kinds of mechanisms for living that help us to cope for the reality that we're a fish out of water. We're not in our natural environment. So the message of reconciliation is simply the caring work of restoring someone to an environment where they can breathe again, where they can live again. Then we are to implore them. This gets even stronger. Implore means to beg, as binding oneself, petition. You know, Christ is a king, and he humbled himself so low. Can you imagine God incarnate taking on our flesh, the King of Kings, the immutable one, who always was and always will be, came down onto our earth and took on our flesh and humbled himself even to death on the cross. It is well within his rights to tell us that it is in our job description to beg people to him. I beg you, don't go that way.
Amen.
It's not only within his rights, it's reasonable. Because the word of God makes it strikingly clear. There are only two eternal destinations that man will face. An eternity in hell and separation from God. Eternal torment or everlasting life with God the Father in heaven. Forever and ever and ever. Or in contrast, in painful, horrible contrast, in separation from him, in torment. Forever and ever and ever. I beg you. I bind myself to you. Do not go. When was the last time it was so strong in your spirit that you would prevent someone from an eternity in hell if that you had this resolve that was in Christ over my dead body? Because it's over his.
Amen.
It's over his. I beg you. I beg you. Do not go. Do not go. So don't mistake this. An ambassador isn't the king. When we say being Jesus, we don't mean float around, get a robe, walk on water, multiply lunches. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you're an ambassador. And he represents the king and faithfully carries his message. We do not replace Jesus, and we are not anyone's savior. That's really important. When we're sharing the message of reconciliation, the hope of the gospel with someone, we can't be someone's savior. We go all the way to the place of binding ourselves to someone. I'm begging you, do not go, but only God saves. So our job is to simply put their hand in his hand.
Yes.
Their hand in his hand. We represent Jesus and carry his message of salvation. Ambassadors for Christ then describes our calling. You're called to it. I'm called to it. Whether you like it or not, you're called to it. You are. It's inescapable. Christ paid a price to put you in exactly that position. You can say it's not my gifting. You can say it's not even what I enjoy, but you can't escape it. No one can who's been called by Jesus, who's been saved by his blood. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I represent Jesus? How can I? By appealing to and imploring people be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Okay, how can I represent Jesus? Let's talk about what he gives us to do this. Let's be sourced in Jesus. Sourced in Jesus. As I was thinking about this, thinking about that song we sing, where he says, I've got a lion inside of my lungs, gratitude, Brandon Lake, right? Okay, what advice would you give to someone if they walked up and they're like, hey, come here. I want to tell you something. Okay, come here. It's kind of embarrassing. I have a lion in my lungs. What? No, no, shh. I have a lion in my lungs. Let him out. That's what I would say. Get him out. Let him out. Let him out of there. That's exactly what Christ is saying to us. Listen to this scripture right here. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've got a lion in my lungs. So we can't just praise him in here. We need to praise him everywhere. Because the lion inside of me, I love this. Reminds me of Reva Cheap and C.S. Lewis. Is he quite tame? Of course he's not tame. He's a lion. But Jesus isn't tame. He's kind of a savage. He's kind of dangerous. In an incredible way. Dangerous every day to the plans of the enemy. Amen. And incredibly effective at rescuing us from our sin. How about you? How about you? What do you have in you? It should be a lion. If you're called by Christ's name, if you call yourself a Christian, if he's bought you by his blood, there's a lion in there. Amen. I just wonder if we spend too much time taming it. Wow. Good kitty, easy kitty. Here's a little cat food, a little catnip. Don't let that cat go tame. He's the king of the universe. Let him be a lion. Amen. Let him be a lion. Let's take some inventory. You got Jesus in you? What do we know? Christ is in me, enabling me to do his will. There's a lion in my lungs. Here's what also we know. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Tough things are gonna happen. Jesus was really honest with his disciples. He calls them this ambassador. You are Christ's ambassador of reconciliation. And we're like, wow, that's awesome. Is there like a diploma and a ceremony for this? And then he follows that later with this. He says, if the world hates you, wait a second, I'm Christ's ambassador. Well, then just keep this in mind. It hated me first. That's what Jesus said. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Oh, there's an interesting litmus test we can put ourselves through. Are we loved by the world? Then perhaps we've tamed the lion inside of us. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Jesus speaks that affirmational statement over his disciples. You need to hear it today too. You do not belong to the world. It's not your home. It's not your home. It should feel uncomfortable when we're out of our natural environment. He says, instead, I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. And I was talking with Sean about this. He said, I had a coach when I was young, and he would tell us this before a game. He says, here's what you know. Difficult things are gonna happen. In life, difficult things are gonna happen. In this game, difficult things are gonna happen. You already know this. In this game, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna be fouled. It's not gonna be fair. Refs are gonna make bad calls. You know all these things. And because you know it's going to happen, you don't get to have a bad reaction. In fact, a bad reaction, this is what Sean's coach told him, is a sign of emotional immaturity. You, listen to this, because I feel like heaven's in these words. You get up and you keep playing the game. Do you hear that? Can you hear the Lord? You get up. Do you hear his voice to you this morning? You get up. you get up. He knows the world's hard. He knows this isn't easy. He knows he's given us a difficult and daunting task. But he goes, you already knew all these things were gonna happen. I told you. And if I hadn't even told you, we probably could have summarized it for ourselves. No. You get up and you get back into the game. Amen. You get back into the game. A bad reaction to something we know will happen. And if we let it, it'll let us take us out of the game. I'm so proud of you guys that are in MIR class, Maturity in Relationships, Reaction or Response. We just learned about this. Letting something that happens to us control our life means we're letting our emotions control our volitional circle, right? Anybody remember that? We just went through it. It's letting your emotions control your volitional circle. I call it just having a tantrum. Gen Z or Gen Alpha would say D1 crash out. Having a D1 crash out. I just feel like it's my responsibility every once in a while to talk a little Gen Z, Gen Alpha, to thoroughly embarrass my children. Every time I ask them, what does that mean? So, hey, what does D1 crash out mean? Every Gen Z, Gen Alpha description of one of their terms starts with a hand motion and these words. It's like being, I think it's like a residue of 6-7, right? It's like being, because the way that those things are defined change every 5 minutes. As a matter of fact, one time I used a Gen Z term and my kids are like, Dad, you can't say that anymore. The meaning's changed. I went, oh, for crying out loud. You're responsible for your D1 crash outs. How many Christians are out of the witnessing game? How many of us are out of the witnessing game because they faced adversity and difficulty? God, how could I do this? What if I make a mistake? What if I get fouled? What if someone makes a bad call? What if I get judged? What happens when I face adversity and difficulty? I could hear Sean's coach saying to us, well, that reaction, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity. So, you get up and you keep playing the game. Because that's what you're called to. Amen. Fit yourself like a man. Get up, play the game. Because God's called you to it. And he's enabled you to it. Kiara Smith, would you come on up here? Join me real quick as we close this up. In this world, Jesus promises you will have troubles. But he also promises this. Take courage, take hope. Why? Because I have overcome the world. We were on a trip with some folks and Kiara was sharing, come on up, and she's talking about some of her way of, I think we're talking about risk, right? Is that right? Near-death experience? No, use your mic, it's okay.
We were talking about near-death experiences.
Yeah, Someone asked, hey, share about a near-death experience, and your response to that question was?
I don't have any. I'm a really cautious person.
Cautious. So what does cautious mean?
I don't take risks. Like if it seems risky, I don't do it.
Or I think you also shared, you try to plan risk out of the equation. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you plan risk out of the equation?
I just try to like consider everything that could happen. And if we get 6 steps down the road and it seems like it's getting pretty rough, I'm not gonna do it.
Okay. How many of you plan 6 steps down the road? Put your hand down, you liars. You didn't. I'm just kidding. This is church. It'd be an altar call. 6 steps down the road to mitigate risk. Risk, yeah. Okay, so she says this, and I happen to know that this incredible young lady, this woman of God, every week shares the gospel on campus. She goes and finds people. She's led by, no, you can applaud for it. So I asked the logical question in a very kind way. I said, how the heck then do you go and share the gospel with people every week?
I remember first feeling compelled to, and I knew I couldn't get out of the compelling. Like I knew I was called to, and I knew I was really scared. So I decided that I was gonna do it even though I was scared. So I, like the first time I ever did it, I literally had to sit on my hands in my conversation with a girl because I didn't want her to see that my hands were shaking and I couldn't get them to stop. But it was worth it. Like, I reasoned through it. The cost of them knowing the gospel was worth more than me staying safe.
You can say that again.
The cost of them knowing the gospel was worth more than me staying safe.
Oh, come on. The cost of them knowing the gospel was worth more than me staying safe. And this is coming from someone who plans six steps ahead. I don't know that I plan one step ahead. Well, yeah. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. Okay, so, I mean, does it get better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did it get better?
Well, because fear is like it's just fear of the unknown. Like, I wasn't used to sharing the gospel. I'd never done it before. I was just scared of what I didn't know. So I started sharing the gospel, and we kind of just got through a lot of the rough stuff, and now it's not unknown anymore, so I don't feel scared doing it anymore. Like, I've been overexposed to it, you know?
She's giving you a very good version. I like this version a lot. What she said in the van is, she goes, I just shared the gospel until I wasn't scared anymore. I went, that's so good. I just shared the gospel until I wasn't scared anymore. Amen. And then you said something else to me. You said, you know, the other thing is there's a reward on the other side of it.
Yeah, like, I would always evangelize on Wednesdays, and like that morning I would wake up in like a cold sweat. I was like, it's Wednesday. But then I would do evangelism for an hour, and then I would get done, and like, I could feel how pleased God was with me. And like, it's fun talking to God when you know he loves you, but it's better talking to him when you know he's pleased with you. It was so fun. I was like, oh man, and then there was this, and then there was that. And I was just, I was so excited that he was pleased with me.
It's good talking to God when you know he loves you. It's better when you know he's pleased with you. Wow. It's better when you know he's pleased with you. Really good. Thank you. Guys, give her a hand, please. Get up. Keep playing the game. Get up. Keep playing the game. Jared responded to her calling as an ambassador for Christ to be Jesus to the world. She went to the well of living water for her source. She took inventory. She understood the risk. She took a step of faith. And as a result, she feels the pleasure of her Father in heaven over her. And she's affected many lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. Eternities have been changed because of her. Revelation 12:11 says this. How do we do this? It says, they triumphed over him, that's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, that's the work of Jesus, by the word of their testimony, that's what he's done in us, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. How do you get there? Well, I think Kiara said it pretty well. I just decided that what was for them was more important than what I was going to try to protect in me. Absolutely incredible. So as we conclude, ambassadors for Christ, that's our calling. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's our source. Jesus doesn't walk the earth the way he once did. Sometimes I think he's even closer. My heart's just been so tender before the Lord lately. And it seems like in everything I do, he's just pointing me places. Talk to him. Ask about that. Follow up on that. How's that situation? How's that? God prompted me to give a word to a person in our community who he has a reputation of kind of eating nails and spitting fire. And I'm like, you got the wrong guy, Lord. Could you give me someone a little sweeter? And and I obeyed, praise the Lord. And he didn't yell at me, he thanked me. He said, hey, you know, I'm not really I don't really ascribe to one faith, but I am spiritual. And I said to him, well, I'm not supposed to leave this assignment without telling you this. The God who sent me, his name's Jesus. He's the God of the Bible, and he wants you to know that he loves you and he sees you. Because there's a lion inside of my lungs. And when we show up with the presence of God, then salvation has walked in the room. When we show up as ambassadors of Christ, then reconciliation has walked in the room. When we show up as those bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then anything and everything is possible, because that's the God that we serve. Being Jesus to the world means following Christ, who lives in us to reveal his character and to communicate his message through us. You guys ever thought about the word history? It's just two words together. It's his story. We're just telling his story. I've got a lion inside of my lungs. Let him out. That's what I'd say to you. Let him out. The scripture we studied this morning comes from a time where Jesus sat his disciples down and he called them ambassadors of reconciliation. But then he gives them the divine enabling to do that. And the event that follows that assignment is exactly what we're gonna do today. It's communion. He says, this is my body that was broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. This is my blood that was shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me. We're never to forget the price that was paid for our salvation, in part because we're never to forget that we're supposed to be giving that salvation away to other people. Christ in you. Christ in you. So today, as you come and you take communion, please let yourself identify with that. This is not just a symbolistic ritual. This is affirming what Scripture says. Christ in me. His body broken for me. His blood poured out for me. Literally in me. The hope of glory. That we could become ambassadors of reconciliation so that others might become the righteousness of God. Before you come to this communion table, if you know there's something in you that's not right with the Lord and you need to bow your head and just say, Lord, please forgive me, then please do that. Also, if you've never had the chance to surrender your life to Jesus. Today, as I talk, you do feel a little bit like a fish out of water, struggling for oxygen. I'm just not made for this environment. My skin's dry, I'm parched. Where can I get some water? Then I invite you to come to the source of living water.
Yes.
His name is Jesus. And the way you access that water is simply by confessing, Jesus, I believe in you, that I'm made for your kingdom and not for this world. And that if you'll have me, Lord, you can take all of me. If that's your confession today, just speak it out loud to him now. You can have me. And then no one needs to tell us that we've sinned. We've all had our D1 crash outs, right? Maybe multiple, maybe a lot. No, it's true. The word of God tells us is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you just say, Jesus, please forgive me. Do it now. Please forgive me. And now I want you to just breathe him in. Receive his forgiveness. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today, the altars will be open as we close. If you've made a commitment to Christ, I'm a fish out of water and I'm coming back to my native environment, I want you to come up here and pray with somebody. I want you to find Pastor Phil or one of the staff or me, and you tell me, hey, I made a commitment to Jesus today. I'm coming back into my native environment. The altars are also open for anyone who needs ministry or prayer, but first, come and receive communion. You ambassadors of reconciliation. Thank you.